Right. Well, good morning. Welcome again to New Life. And wow, I mean, just hearing that and seeing that, we're grateful that we can be a part of that, right? That's part of what it means to participate in a changed life. And we want to talk about that, spend some time this summer reflecting on that as well. But before we begin, want to call your attention to a couple of things happening in our congregation. Adam and Michelle Van Egmond had a baby boy, and Dave and Kelsey DeClaire had a baby girl. And so I'm not sure exactly when those births took place, sometime in this past week and so on. And so we're grateful to God for new life and for health and blessing as well. And then we want to this morning pray for Tim Bransma, son of Pete and Alice. He was in an ATV accident over the weekend, and he is just submitting to surgery now this morning for breaks in his back, and he's got broken ribs and a broken jaw. So pretty extensive, and we want to pray for healing and blessing for him and the family. So let's just begin with a word of prayer. Father, thank you for gathering us here in this place together into your presence. And God, we pray that as we gather around your word too, that you'll give us a hunger and a thirst for your righteousness, for the way in which you have set before us through Jesus Christ. And so, God, give us an enthusiasm and an ambition to follow hard after you, even as we sit here this morning, perhaps with plans for this day and for this week, and we're anxious to get on with it. And so, God, make us mindful of where we are, why we're here, and speak to us, we pray. God, we're grateful that you are with us, and you know us better than we know ourselves. We're grateful, God, that we can participate in ministry that brings blessing and healing and encouragement and building up of one another's lives, whether that's through life recovery or through Esperanza or through the work that we do here in this community. Father, we pray that even through this summer that you will give us that sensitivity to administer the gospel of Jesus Christ in the relationships that we have, in the activities that we participate in, and in the places and people that we meet. And so, God, we give you thanks for sustaining us and providing for us and for watching over us. We give you thanks, even, God, that you have watched over Tim Bransma, and that even in some small miraculous way that you preserved his life, even though he must submit to surgery. And we pray for the success of that surgery right now, and pray that you will bless him, provide healing for him, and encourage him through this incident. Be with the rest of his family, watch over them, and give them strength and courage through this time as well. Father, and so also we give you thanks for providing new life for families of Adam and Michelle Van Egmond and Dave and Kelsey DeClaire. We pray that you will be with little Autumn and with Judah, and we pray, God, that you will bless them, and may they grow up healthy and strong. We praise you for the ways in which you have blessed each of us in our own various situations. And so, God, may we give you all the praise and all the glory as we turn our focus to you and to your word and what you might be saying to us. Holy Spirit, dwell in our hearts so that not only now, but in the days to come, we are attentive to your presence in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, so as Dean mentioned, we want to enter into a series through the summer. It's always kind of difficult to figure out what kind of series we're going to do during the summer because people come and go. And so, you know, we're mindful of the fact that, well, okay, so you might not be able to track all of the series. But we do want to provide some way in which you're participating in the ongoing messages and so on. And so I want to draw your attention. I saw them over here, which is maybe a little unfortunate because you're going to think these are kids' things, but they're not. Our interns have worked hard at putting this together. It's a booklet that's attached also to an encourager if you receive it. And I want to encourage you to use this. This is meant to be a family booklet as well as just for your individual use if you want. And so this summer, we want to challenge you to learn to live in God's space. A lot of times we think of entering into God's presence by inviting him into our lives, or to invite Jesus into my heart, right? That's a common phrase. And so the picture that we create is that we invite God in. I want to challenge us this summer to enter into God's space. That's a significant challenge. To look for God this summer. To notice him, to pay attention to him, to just be ever so aware that, oh yeah, that's God. Ah, here's where God's acting. Oh, here's where God is speaking. To be attentive. And so I hope that this booklet that we're working on hard, we'll be presenting a new one each week. And so I want to encourage you to use that to take up that challenge. And I want to begin this series then with Psalm 19. Because I think there in that psalm, a powerful psalm and an amazing piece of writing, in that psalm, we see a God who is present everywhere. And I want to examine that with you this morning. It's one of my favorite psalms, Psalm 19. If I doubt if any of you do this, but if you kept track of the passages that I preach on, you would realize that this is the fourth time now that I'm preaching on Psalm 19 in 10 years here at New Life Church. But I assure you, each time it was a different sermon, so don't worry, you're not getting a repeat or anything. But I love this psalm because it encompasses so beautifully what I want my life to be about, and that is to connect people with God. To connect people with a God who reveals himself in what he has made, and with a God who reveals himself by telling his story of what he's about and what he's doing in this world with all that he has made with you and with me. This psalm reveals a God who we know from afar. He's out there. And this psalm reveals a God who we know by name. The beginning of the psalm starts by referring to God in the general, generic term of El, the Hebrew term for God, E-L, El. And then as it moves through the psalm, it suddenly changes to the name for God, the personal name for God. God reveals himself and lets us know his name so we can call on him. Yahweh is his name. And the psalm moves into that. I love this psalm because it reveals a God who is out there. He's bigger than the heavens. But it's also a God who is closer than our very breath. May the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, it says in the conclusion. So let's read this psalm together. Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech, they use no words, no sound is heard from them, yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun. We're going to return to that image. It's a peculiar image, actually. In the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun. It's like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived of its warmth. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They're sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them, your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. But who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. And then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May these words of my mouth, this meditation of my heart, be pleasing in your sight, Lord. That's the personal name of God, Yahweh. May it be pleasing in your sight, Yahweh, my rock and my redeemer. So I'm learning to pay attention to God, and I think I've mentioned this probably before, but I try to run 3 times a week, and I'm finding that more and more as I run, probably because of sheer exhaustion, I find it easier to submit myself to the presence of God, so that I finally realize that God is everywhere. He's even as I'm running down the path on my last 6 or 7 kilometers. And I'm just about breathless, especially when I'm running at Wilben Creek Park. And then a little bunny crosses my path and darts into the refuge of the tall grass. And I think, God's here, taking care of that bunny. And 100 million other ones. God's presence. This psalm reveals that we're invited into God's presence, first of all, in all of creation. All of creation is God's dwelling place. Here's the curious thing I find. We usually look at the creation story and think about it in terms of the beginning of time, and it causes all kinds of controversy. I think this psalm wants to tell us that we need to think of the creation story in terms of the beginning of the knowledge of God. Not the beginning of time, but the beginning of the knowledge of God. Think of it this way. You don't start off your own human existence being told that your mother is going to be a trusted individual. You simply experience it. You aren't born into a world where you're told, first of all, that, remember, love is an important virtue. No, you first experience it. And likewise, God begins to reveal knowledge about himself, not just by teaching you all of the good character traits that God has, and don't you forget them. No, he reveals himself through creation. And he reveals himself as an extravagant God. He reveals himself as a lavish God, pouring out all kinds of creation. He reveals himself as a beauty-loving God by pouring out all these things in all of their bright colors and in all of their variations. He reveals himself as an endlessly creative God. He reveals himself as a surprising God, an unpredictable God, but a dependable God. Creation is God's dwelling place, and we get to enter into that as God reveals himself to us. He reveals himself as a creator with the values for things like caring for his creation, with the values of orderliness, with the value of being able to provide and sustain the things that he has made. A God who reveals his value for beauty. And that's, I mean, it's not hard to look around in our particular part of the world and go, oh yeah, of course, yeah, I see that. The question for you though is, will you notice it? Will you notice it? Psalm 19 focuses on creation by reflecting on the heavens. You ever just looked up in the sky and just looked at the sky and how big it is, how vast it is? Just, you look up and you see just a clear blue sky and you go, well, yeah, it's blue. Okay, yeah, let's get on with it. Consider its vastness. Psalm 19 begins there, as if to suggest that when you don't recognize God in creation, it begs the question, how could you have missed it? I just spent a week in upstate New York. My wife happens to be working there at a university that's up on a mountain. So I went over there, and she was working that day. This was a week ago Friday, and she was working, so I had some time to kill, and I did some exploring, and then I went back up the mountain to where she was working, and so I had some spare time, and just in this random place, I mean, I have no connections with upstate New York, but in this random place, I just decided at this random moment of the day, probably around 20 after 3 in the afternoon, I took this random mountain road. And as I turned the corner, I thought I was going to go into something exciting, and then it said dead end. And I thought, well, I'll just take it to the end then. Won't see anything, but oh well. And then as I ran round about the second curve, I drove up upon a big black bear with her two cubs. I've never been that close before. Scared the bejeebies out of me, actually. I would have taken a picture of it, but I was like, I got to get out of here. But as I went back down the mountain, I reflected on that, thought, that was so random. I wonder if God had his hand in it. And then I saw that God reminded me how surprising he is. And how generous he is in giving me this, well, random experience. I saw how dangerous God is as well. But also how tender and loving God is. and playful God is. See, when I saw with the eyes of faith, that's when refreshment came. I could breathe a sigh of relief and thank God for showing up in the most amazing place, most surprising place. See, I wonder if our problem is that maybe we take beauty for granted. God doesn't just make a bunch of stuff for our practical purposes just so that we can get by.
Whoa, you're good enough with that.
No, God presents everything with beauty. And in our functional, practical, efficient age, we maybe take that beauty for granted. And we don't call attention to the fact that God might be showing something of himself through that. And then, unfortunately, sometimes we present the gospel in the same kind of efficient, practical, only useful way. And then it's not good news anymore. We think of the gospel in restrictive terms and think of it in terms of how we have to behave and what we have to believe. And we make God merely into black and white. I want to challenge you this summer to ask yourself, is my God alive in living color? That's what beauty can reveal to you. That kind of God. A God who fashions all that there is in a way that it reveals glory. God's glory. Because beauty isn't just about enjoying the sights. It's not just, oh, that was nice. Beauty begs you. It begs you to attribute it to a creator. Beauty speaks, even though it has no voice, no words. If it speaks, are you listening? And if you're listening, what will be your response? God's dwelling place is in all of creation. But he also dwells in his word. In Scripture is where God dwells. Psalm 19, there's something curious happening. I called attention to it earlier. Some interesting imagery takes place there. God makes a tent for the sun. Isn't that a curious thing? Why a tent? Maybe this will remind you, because the word tent is the same word as tabernacle. And God, when he led his people out of Egypt and into the promised land, into freedom, he commanded them to make a tabernacle, which represented the presence of God. Here, the tent is a dwelling place for the sun, a tabernacle for the sun, and nothing escapes its warmth. So also, the tabernacle, the place where God dwells, nothing escapes the warmth of God himself as he is present among his people. And at the heart of the tabernacle, at the heart of God's dwelling place for his people was the Torah, the law of the Lord. And so Psalm 19 uses this imagery of a tent over the sun to transition into how God dwells in his word. And just as God's glory is revealed in creation, so also his glory is revealed in his word. The more one meditates on Scripture, the more one acts based on Scripture, the more one pictures how life ought to be based on the words of Scripture, the more you are able to live as a person after God's own heart. You simply cannot ignore this aspect of knowing God. So in this booklet, we've arranged it in a particular way so that on the inside cover here, you have seeing God in creation. And that's the challenge for you, to see God in creation in all of the activities that you're about to engage in throughout the summer. But don't forget the other side. Seeing God in His Word. What passage in the Bible makes you aware of God's deep love for you? We're going to hear more about that from various people, as Dean indicated, later on in the summer. The issue is this, and here's, I am going to repeat something from the very first sermon I preached on Psalm 19 here at New Life. When I first preached on that, I made mention of the difference between believership and discipleship. Believership is when you believe in God. You acknowledge His wonderful glory in creation. You say, yep, there is a God. Discipleship is when you follow hard after God. Because not only do you know of God, but you know God. It's personal. There's a relationship there. You know God. You have a relationship with Him that makes you imitate Him, act like Him, love Him, maybe even fight with Him, get angry with Him, struggle against Him, submit to Him, obey Him. All those things of a good, hearty relationship. So ask yourself this summer, take the time to say, I wonder where my relationship is at. Reflect on that as you observe God's presence in all of creation and in His Word. And here's the beautiful thing about Psalm 19. It reveals a God in creation. It reveals a God in His Word. But it also reveals a God who enters into our life. My heart is God's dwelling place. It happens in Psalm 19 so subtly, this transformation. God's glory is magnificently displayed in the vastness of creation. You look up in the sky, you think, man, I have a marvelous God, a great big God. But that glory, clouded, muted, marred by our own sin, will be reestablished as God establishes His dwelling place on the earth through His Word. And then, and here's the critical difference, this is no distant power play of God just trying to get His own way in His own creation, but instead, however error-prone we might be, however fault-driven we are, God's glory begins to shine in us and through us. We observe God's glory in creation. That glory shines brightly in the dwelling place of His Word. And as we let His Word dwell in us, we're transformed so that we become a pleasing sight to God. That is, His glory is reflected in us. May the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you. All of that takes place through the fulfillment of God's Word in Jesus Christ, as the New Testament teaches. In the beginning was the Word, says the Gospel of John. And that Word becomes flesh and dwells among us. That phrase, dwells among us, is the very same kind of idea that Psalm 19 expresses in terms of a tent or a tabernacle. The Word of God tabernacles over us. And so as Jesus lives in us through the power of the Holy Spirit, we are God's temple, declaring the glory of God even as we dwell in the place where God dwells in His creation and in His Word and He in us. So this summer, here's the challenge. In this season of recreation and of relaxing, of refreshment and of rest, make it about dwelling where God dwells. Make it personal. And let God's glory shine. Let's pray together. God, thank you. Thank you for revealing yourself to us. We perhaps take it for granted that we know about you and we know you and we can say things about you and we can come and worship you and we can feel your presence inside of our lives and in our hearts. And then, God, we pray that you will surprise us all over again, that you would let us know you closely, intimately. Know every detail of what you are up to in this world. And so, Father, we pray that even in this summer, as we just go about maybe changing up our routines and doing fun things, God, remind us again by your Spirit who you are. Remind us again of where we are, constantly in your presence. We cannot hide from you. And so, God, we confess that with all of the opportunities that are placed before us, with all of the excitement that we want to engage in, and all of the experiences that we have opportunity for, God, we confess that it's easy to just ignore you. Or just to forget. And we might even claim, God, that we don't even mean it, but it just happens. We get so busy. So, Father, we pray that you will give us a new awareness of placing ourselves in your dwelling place, where you are. And may we meet you there in beautiful ways, in wonderful ways that refresh us and make us eager to follow you, to fulfill your purposes, and to share your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.